Hi, welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and in this podcast, we lay out formulas for fabulous sex and give you recipes for delicious desire.
I like it. It's so spontaneous.
Oh, come on over to pleasuremechanics.com for a full podcast archive. Be sure to sign up for one of our free mini courses at pleasuremechanics.com/free so we can deliver you our best sex advice in little bite-sized pieces that you can put to work right away to improve your sex life every day. Hey, that rhymed. And when you are ready to master new erotic skills, go deep with us in our premium online courses, where we show you stroke by stroke how to master new erotic skills like couples massage or foreplay or erotic spanking or prostate massage. Check them all out at pleasuremechanics.com and use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off the adventure of your choice. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about surrendering into orgasm, that elusive skill of being able to let go and let pleasure take over and create a climax of pleasure. We were inspired to do this episode from an email we received from a new listener, and Charlotte's going to get us started by reading the letter.
Dear Pleasure Mechanics, I stumbled on your podcast the other day and I'm reaching out to see if you can help me with a predicament I have found myself in since the beginning of my sex life.
From stumbled upon to in-depth advice delivered straight to you. Here we go. I love it. Well, I love that she's new. I think that's cool.
I'm 25 and have always had big difficulties reaching orgasm in the presence of a partner. During masturbation, I'm pleased to say I have no problems. When I began being sexually active beyond basic self-pleasure 8 years ago, I think part of the challenge was that I was unfamiliar with my own body and was shy to ask for what I wanted. However, I've had this issue recurringly, both in more casual encounters as well as in my most recent relationship, which lasted 4 years. I had good communication with my partner and he was very patient and attentive. His persistence, however, was not enough to bring me to orgasm. It became clear to me that I have a block or fear that I cannot seem to overcome. Naturally, this was hugely frustrating for both of us and led to loss of libido. In the last 3 years, I've really focused on getting to know myself through self-stimulation. I've read up on the matter, had sessions with a psychosexual therapist, and done some courses to expand my understanding, always focusing on clearing blocks and worries that I noticed along the way. I have also learned that being intimate does not always need to lead to orgasm, so the importance of this problem has shifted a little bit. Still, I want to be able to work through my block so that I know I can achieve orgasm when I am being intimate with a man. As I don't have any trauma in my past that could help explain my fear, I am thinking that it might be linked to some of my personality traits outside the bedroom. Control is an important aspect in my life, and surrender, i.e. giving up control, is something I am not used to. I like being in control of my actions, the results I achieve, my emotions, people's attitudes towards me. I have even noticed that my assertiveness can often lead to people's decisions or actions reflecting what they think I would do or what I would expect, even if I'm not intentionally interfering with the situation or outcome. As a result, I'm used to being in control and feel out of my comfort zone when I am not. Inversely, I would say that I feel uncomfortable in surrender mode. However, when I analyze my fantasies, I am curious about taking the role of a submissive in a BDSM dynamic. Not a hardcore one, but the idea of being restrained, controlled, and/or having to accept what is done to me turns me on. Perhaps I think that here I find a compromise that I can feel more comfortable with, controlled and agreed surrender. But why do I think I need a formal agreement to feel comfortable enough to surrender? And how can I practice surrender with a man without making it all about reaching climax? Do you have any advice as to how I can overcome my block of reaching orgasm with a man? Many thanks in advance, and I really look forward to hearing from you.
Woohoo! This is the kind of question I love because it paints such a picture of who this person is and gives us a lot of information to work with. Yum.
And I just love how committed you are. Like, you have already done so much work and, like, brought a lot of attention and awareness and focus on this subject. And I really appreciate how you're really going after this and caring about it. And
I'm going to guess you're a high-performing human being.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like you're really nailing life. Like, this is all awesome.
All right, so let's see if we can help you. This idea of surrendering into orgasm. So first, I'm just going to give you the really easy nugget of advice, which is clitoral stimulation counts. So the things you're doing to reach orgasm alone, make sure you are mapping those same kinds of stimulation onto sex with your partner. I just don't want to miss the most obvious as we pursue these more esoteric ideas of surrendering and control. So make sure there's a high level of clitoral stimulation, touch yourself during intercourse, use a lot of oral sex, fingering techniques from our foreplay course, like whatever it takes to really make sure the physical stimulation is there. Also, make sure to listen to our episode about turn-ons and turn-offs and the dual model control of arousal. Because then you'll know, no matter how much stimulation you're giving, if you are distracted by certain emotional experiences, that might be putting the brakes on your sexual experience, which sounds like what's happening here. You have certain kind of emotional frameworks that are preventing you from orgasming during partnered play. So those are just the two basic things to get out of the way. Now, surrendering into orgasm. First, I want to talk, why do we talk about this concept of surrendering into orgasm? And how does that relate to the kind of surrender we do during kinky power play?
Let's just all take a deep breath with that one. Well, that's a great subject.
Let's talk about it on a podcast. So the physiological definition of an orgasm is the involuntary release of sexual tension. So how this works in the body is you start giving your body sexual stimulation. It starts responding with arousal, which sends more blood to the genitals. Your muscles start responding by clenching and building up tension in the pelvis. And then at a certain threshold of stimulation and pleasure, the pelvic muscles contract rhythmically, and the brain releases this wash of chemicals, of hormones that give you this experience of euphoria and bonding and pleasure. So there's something physiological about orgasm that's a surrender. It's taking your body up to a point where it can no longer help itself and involuntarily climaxes. And so what a lot of people find is they build up pleasure, they build up arousal, they're getting into it, and they just never reach that threshold where their body cascades over. So the image of a waterfall, the image of a cork popping, we have all these images of sex that imply there's a certain amount, a certain capacity, you hit that, and then orgasm ensues. So the idea of surrender comes in when the stimulation is happening, the tension is happening, but you can't relax into that next phase that allows that involuntary release. And it is a release, and there is a falling into it. And that experience, many say, is a vulnerable experience. It's a little death in French. It's a place of emotional and physical vulnerability because you're going into an involuntary physical state. And so people with a lot of control issues can experience a certain level of anxiety around orgasm because they're not in perfect control of their body, their expressions, their emotions at that moment. So the fear and anxiety around orgasm can come up with this control issue. Different people experience this kind of control, this kind of anxiety around orgasm in different ways. For some people, as they approach orgasm, anxiety spike kicks in and overrides pleasure. So they start feeling a little panicky. They start getting really in their head, and they're kind of more now in anxiety than in pleasure. And that just shuts down the sexual experience. And you either fake an orgasm or just kind of tell your partner to move on, and you just don't resolve it in any way. Other people experience this as kind of a fear, and they start shifting activities or moving away from sensation and decreasing the stimulation back to a safe zone. Mm. So you've kind of hit your level of pleasure where you feel like an orgasm is coming, and consciously or not, you start minimizing pleasure and minimizing the stimulation to get back into your safety zone. And then you just hang out there in that plateau for a while until one or both of you move on. So there's kind of a hard stop, anxiety stop. There's like a fear stop where you just minimize and return to your comfort zone. And this frustration that builds between partners, you said it leads to loss of libido. Partly that's about the story that because you're not having an orgasm, I'm failing you in some way. I'm not a good enough lover. It can become this very emotional thing of why can't I give this to you? All of these things. And if you're stuck in that emotional story, you can do things like bring vibrators into your partnered play. And Dan Savage likes to say, no one ever blamed a carpenter for not building the house if he used a hammer. Right? Like, you can use tools in your sexual experience, and that doesn't diminish the quality or the value of that orgasm. And for some people, using vibrators or stopping the partnered play and just masturbating to completion gets them over this hump of having an orgasm in someone else's presence. Because if it's really about that, and will your face look funny and all these things, like, some people have just kind of this emotional block. And with the use of a high-powered vibrator or just stroking yourself to orgasm, you can overcome that. And once your body is more accustomed to having orgasms in the presence of someone else, that control issue diminishes. So it really kind of depends on what your experience of this moment of letting go of control is. Is it a hard stop, a panic attack? Is it just a little bit of fear that makes you shut down your pleasure? Is there more of just kind of an emotional itch of like, you know, what does it mean? And there are different strategies for kind of getting over that hump. If it's about visual, for some people, it's just this very visual thing of, I know when I orgasm, I crinkle up my nose and I don't want my partner to see that. Put a blindfold on your partner. And that's one way of, by cutting off their visual sense, you feel a little bit more private and you can kind of go into your funny orgasm face and they'll never see it. And then over time, you can start easing into allowing yourself to be seen in that state a little bit more. With this letter in particular, and why I want to explore the BDSM relationship, is it feels like there's a certain level of, there's a craving, there's interest in more kinds of submission in order to balance something emotionally that's going on in the rest of her life. And sex is a great place to do this, of creating balance. And so if she's super in control and super dominant in all of her social relationships, and she even kind of inserted this, like, I can get people to do what I want without even having to say it. Wahaha. Like, there's a certain level of like social manipulation there that really powerful people use. Like, it's not a bad thing if you wield it for the force of good. But what that's telling me is that she's a very dominant personality. And sexual submission can be a great way to balance that out. Just like being a sexual dominant can be a great way to find a place of your personal power and embody power if you don't get the opportunity to do that socially. So we do find that BDSM creates social balance for a lot of people. And it sounds like for her, like, physiologically she's able to have orgasms and she's got good relationships, and there's a certain kind of emotional balance that needs to take place that might spin her into the pool of orgasmic equilibrium.
Yeah, it's really known that a lot of people who are very controlling and powerful and in the world often need BDSM. That there's so many of the BDSM clients that are out there in the world are often high-paying CEO types.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my most memorable clients as a BDSM client back in the day was a multi-million dollar CEO. And this was just a way of...
Who paid the college tuition of probably dominatrixes all around the world.
He was very... Yes. He had a lot of needs. But it was just a way of... I really do believe it. It's a way of creating balance. It's like when you are taking care of so many things and you're in control, just having that space where somebody else is in control and you're giving that all up is really, really, really valuable. So don't underestimate that. I think your fantasies are really speaking to something that is a desire within you, a craving, as Chris said. And so go with it. Explore it safely and see what shows up.
And so the elements here are you have to find someone you trust. So anytime you're being restrained, anytime you are allowing yourself to be submissive to someone, inherent in that relationship has to be trust and confidence in that person. And especially if you're having casual sex with someone, do not allow someone you don't know to restrain you under any circumstances.
Yeah.
So built into this formula is you have to find someone you like, get to know them over time, hopefully maybe have sexual encounters that don't involve bondage or power play. Start trusting their body, start trusting their skills, the way they touch you, the way you guys communicate, and then you start layering this in. So this isn't a casual sex formula, just to put that out there. Never allow anyone you don't know to restrain you.
Safety first.
Yes.
And you asked, why do you need BDSM? And it really doesn't matter why. It's showing up in your fantasies as something you want to explore. And so we encourage you to explore it, to take this step. Sexuality is an adventure. It is a non-linear experience. It's something that's showing up for you that you want to feel right now. And in 2 years, you might not need it. You might not want it. But right now, it feels like the next step to kind of deepen in your journey of your own sexuality. And so go with it if you can find a safe, smart way of doing that.
So we talked about trust, finding someone you can trust enough to put you in restraints. And inherent in that trust is also your body is going to start trusting their touch, and you can start focusing on your own sensations without having to control every little gesture that they offer you. And this is a place where it's important to communicate about what you like and be able to say a little to the left, a little to the right. But for controlling personalities, you can start latching on to that kind of communication, and it can take you out of the sensations. So it's just a way of controlling the sexual experience rather than optimizing it. And so finding someone whose touch you trust, who's offering you good quality erotic touch, and then being able to kind of shut up and start focusing on your own interior sensations and drop your awareness into sensation, start using non-verbal forms of communication. So if you want your clitoris stroked a little bit to the left, move your hips. Instead of saying it and controlling it that way, move your body into sensation. And this will unleash more pleasure for you because you're physically moving your body, you're not in your head, you're in the sensations. A blindfold can be a really good tool because you take out that visual stimulation, which uses a large percentage of the brain power for us humans. It's an enormous amount of our cognitive function that's dedicated to visual processing. So when you shut that off, the rest of your brain is a little more free to, again, drop into sensations and start interpreting pleasure and sending those signals back into your body. In terms of restraints, being physically restrained is hot for a lot of reasons. It's got kind of some symbolic reasons, but it also gives you something to tug against. And so if that control monster comes up in you, pull against the restraints, struggle a little bit, and notice that you feel held, feel contained, feel taken care of by that bondage. It's a way of extending your lover's hands, so their hands are free to pleasure you, but they're holding you in the embrace of that bondage, and they're holding you in a container of safety. So bondage at its best is kind of an extension of your lover's intention to hold you and contain you so you can fill yourself up with pleasure. So try to think of it that way. And I would start with wrist restraints only and then go into four-point bondage if you like that. But notice how your body reacts to when you tug against the restraints versus relax into them. Some people love to fight and kind of get wild against the restraints and really tug. Make sure you have a strong bed frame. Some other people like to totally relax and just like let their body melt into that feeling of being held. So really notice that. When we talk about BDSM relationships, one of the nice things is there is a pre-negotiated contract, as you said, and sometimes it's just a conversation, other times it's a piece of paper, but you've pre-negotiated what will and will not happen. And for people with control issues, this is a way of being totally in control of your sexual experience ahead of time, so you can then relax into it. So there's no question in your head of like, are they going to touch my butthole? I don't want them to touch my butthole. I haven't showered today, but I don't want to go anal. Is he going to do that next? Instead of that chatter, you've said ahead of time, play with my pussy all you want, but no butt play. And you have that agreed. You've made that explicit and it's off the menu. Or you say, I like being called dirty slut and little whore, but don't ever humiliate me by talking about my hair color, whatever it is. Like, your formulas for what's in bounds, what's out of bounds, get to be put on the table, negotiated, agreed upon, and a good BDSM relationship will stick to that contract, those agreed upon boundaries, so precisely that you can completely relax knowing what's going to happen and what's not going to happen. And for people with control issues, this is so freeing. If you had to walk into a restaurant and eat whatever the chef delivered to you, you would have to really trust that chef to go to that restaurant. Most people would never go out to eat. The nice thing about ordering your meal is there's certain expectations. And if you order macaroni and cheese, you're not going to get the burger, right? And so when you need to control your sexual experience during it ahead of time, then allows you to relax into the experience. And then you do aftercare and you have a conversation after that sexual experience to fine-tune it for next time. This is one of the gifts of the BDSM community that's so important when you're playing with things like flogging and spanking and whipping and piercing, these higher risk sexual activities. But this formula of talking about what's going to happen, making agreements, making boundaries, and then sticking to them should really happen for all sexual experiences. And in a long-term relationship, every time you fall into bed, you're not saying, okay, today I'm going to lick your pussy four times and then put in one finger. You know, you don't have to get that formulaic, but you know your partner and you have enough conversations that you know what you can and can't do. You know what arouses them. You know what takes them away from that experience. And you have kind of this ongoing sense of what the boundaries are. And then ideally you have ongoing conversations to renegotiate that and open up new possibilities and explore new things together in a loving, curious, playful way, like we were talking about on the episode about different kinks and fetishes, right? Like, you can dip your toes into multiple pools of water without feeling like you're going to be thrown in the pool. So why would BDSM appeal to you? It seems really obvious. Like, there's both physical benefits to this kind of play where you can be submissive, you can be blindfolded, you can be restrained and like let your body relax into sensation that way. But there's also this huge emotional component of pre-negotiated sexual experiences. And the funny thing about BDSM is that the submissive is really in control. And this is a well-known trope in BDSM. It's like the top is at the service of the submissive. That power exchange is really mostly about the submissive's experience. The submissive gets to say what happens and what doesn't happen and how hard it happens. And you have safe words to, you know, modulate the experience as you're in it. But being a submissive is a very powerful sexual role. And it's nothing, there's nothing passive about being sexually submissive. You get to channel all of that control and all of that intensity that's inherent in your personality into crafting your sexual experience, finding someone you trust, and then totally surrendering into them taking you there.
Amen.
But whether or not you're exploring a BDSM relationship, in the meantime, as you're finding someone you want to do bondage with, there are things you can do to practice deepening your ability to focus on sensation and allowing sensation to take over your sexual experience.
Because that's part of what you want to do. You want to be able to focus so deeply on the sensations and the experience within your body that it's overriding the thoughts in your head that are controlling or that are analyzing or processing what's going on. So you're creating a safe enough physical environment, whatever that is, and then you're feeling your body. So if this is something that you are not so familiar with, kind of getting into a altered state of consciousness, it's sort of like you're getting high, that you're really in a different state of being. You're totally not in your head. Then this is something you want to practice. So this going out dancing and really getting into an unself-conscious space where you are really feeling the music and you're moving your body. Maybe your eyes are closed. You don't really care who's around. You're just feeling it. You know, this is something that's this can be in your living room. This can be in the nightclubs. You're 25. Go out and play, honey. and just practice that. Like, can you do that? Are you really aware of what everyone else is feeling or looking at you and thinking? So practice seeing how deep you can go into the joy of it and the feeling of your body. That's one space. Meditation is a wonderful, wonderful practice if that appeals to you at all, to begin to calm your mind and to not listen to those voices in your head, but also to be feeling your breath and focusing on your breath and the sensations in your body. Those are two really simple but really profound practices you can put into your life to prepare yourself for surrendering into orgasm. And then on the day that you are ready to try this out, I feel like there is some preparation that you can do in order to prepare your body and your mind for surrender. And that can look like starting out with working out. If you're a runner, go for a really long, hard run. Whatever kind of exercise that you like doing, you want to really get the muscular tension out of your body. So if you like dancing, dance hard. Really sweat and relax your body, ideally. This is all in an ideal situation. You can do a mini version of this if you want. But there's something about getting the tension out of your body, and it'll allow you to be able to relax more deeply. Because that's what we're looking for. We're looking for
It also releases hormones and gets your blood flowing. There's all sorts of physiological benefits of a good workout on the day you're going
to
have sex.
Totally. It helps, absolutely. Blood flow to the pelvis makes you be able to feel more. It's a good tip.
Yeah.
And then move into a relaxing kind of phase. So whether that's a shower or a bath, some way that you're a sauna, if it's available to you. I've had great sex after saunaing because you're really, anyway, side note.
I'm ordering a sauna right now.
you know, clearly that's not, but if you're in a hotel, that can be an option. Some way of really deeply relaxing your body.
But it's also interesting what you just described is an excitement, relaxing cycle, which is really what orgasm about. It's building up excitement and then cascading into relaxation and enjoyment.
So it's allowing that process to begin and to,
practice that in your body.
When you're in the experience, focus on taking long, deep breaths. This can help with the relaxation process. This can help relax your body. So whenever you start to feel whatever the brain space you get into, anxiety, fear, just really take long, deep breaths. Maybe let your partner know ahead of time that that's something that you're going to be doing and focusing on to try and assist your body in staying in this relaxation mode. It can help you feel really good.
Well, along with the breath focusing your attention away from your distracting thoughts, it's oxygenating your body, it's drawing your attention back inward into the sensation in your body. And so that's just what you want to be doing ongoing in your sex life. What we all need to be doing is minimizing distractions, minimizing the brain chatter, drawing our attention back into sensation, back into the physical experience we're having. Because then whether or not you cascade into that orgasm, whether or not you're having the hot, kinky sex of your fantasies, what you're doing is you're spending some time focused on sensations and training your awareness and attention to drop into the pleasure in your body. And this is how we learn how to build our capacity for arousal, how we can build our ability to stay relaxed as we get more and more aroused. And over time, this will contribute to a more orgasmic sex life. Like, this is a skill we can all develop at any point, with or without the goal of orgasm in that particular session. So it is important to kind of let go of the goal of orgasm while striving towards the goal of orgasm. It's one of those funny paradoxes in sex. Don't focus so much on, will it happen this time, and it has to happen this time because that means something. But you're just building your capacity. You're developing a skill. And just like athletes develop their skills, so when game time comes, they can just be in the zone. All of these practices, you're training yourself to be a more orgasmic, more sexual creature and be at home in that state, which over the long run will lead to orgasms.
You're building your capacity to feel and experience and marinate in pleasure. And that is a ever-increasing
capacity
that we can all deepen in.
Yeah.
So we hope that you explore and experiment and let us know how it goes.
We'd love to hear what works for you, particularly anyone out there struggling with control issues around orgasm or pleasure. If you find yourself building arousal and then clamping down, building arousal and checking out, if there's this cycle for you of building up pleasure and then something kicks in and takes that pleasure away and makes orgasm more elusive, then focus on some of these strategies. And it doesn't have to be bondage. It can just be breathing. Mix and match our strategies and let us know what works from you. That's how we learn what strategies are most effective for the most people. I love when I get emails that was like, in this podcast, you told me to do X, Y, and Z was the key. Because if I get 20 of those emails and I know Z is the key, then we can promote that strategy a little bit more than X and Y. But everyone has their own constellation of what their own bodies are dealing with and what their relationships are working on and their emotions. And we kind of flood you with these techniques so you can put things into play and figure out what works for you specifically at this moment in your sexual path. We love hearing from you. We love hearing your stories. And write us long emails. Give us details. Paint us a picture of what's going on for you, and we will be better able to assist you. You can reach us anytime at pleasuremechanics.com. Come on over, check out our full podcast archive, check out our free mini courses and our premium multimedia online courses that will teach you stroke by stroke how to touch every inch of your lover's body with more skill and confidence. We all need more of that too in our lives. Use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off the online course of your choice, and we are here for you.
And remember, if you are interested in exploring BDSM and you feel new to it, but you want to be guided through the experience of having a successful, safe, nurturing, sexy experience of all of that, we have this beautiful, amazing, brilliant, if I don't say so myself, Kinky Sex Mastery course that is so supportive in having those conversations and figuring out what is sexy for you. So definitely check that out. And then if you want to explore spanking, our erotic spanking course is so lovely and also takes you through that arc of pleasure that you might want to check out on your ass.
Lovely and nourishing kinky sex. Wholesome kink. Yes. Brought to you by Pleasure Mechanics.
It's so true.
It really is. True.
Yeah. So go check them out. Pleasuremechanics.com.
All right. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.